broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendrick.
The band frontman Michael Torres posted this statement online.
Interestingly, the only woman, actually, that I have seen, only kind of a figure.
President Obama has his chin out on just about every hot issue out.
Can almost see it.
What's a gay what?
Now, isn't that lovely?
World famous Phil Henry show every night till 1 o'clock. I don't know what it is either. World famous Phil Henry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show where reality is the bitch. This radio show takes you through the looking glass, the Alice in Wonderland looking glass of media to the other side. And this hour, we're going to talk about the retirement of Oprah Winfrey from her longstanding television program that was on literally for decades. I'm going to be talking about it with Dean Wheeler. Dean is with the Northern California Anti-War Alliance as well as the Northern California Holistic Center, and he's been on our program before and talked with us about a variety of issues having to do mostly with politics, although this tonight is a little something different, Dean. This is the world of entertainment, and I know that you admired and respected Oprah Winfrey immensely.
Well, Bill, I think all of us did. I think we all admired and respected Oprah Winfrey. Not all of us, but a majority of us, because look at the success of that woman's program.
Well, it's decades of success.
Decades of success, an enormous fan base. She literally made Barack Obama the president of the United States, in my opinion, with his appearance on with her endorsement and his subsequent appearance. She also was I think, instrumental in bringing Michelle Obama to the American people. And by that I mean she was able to, at a time when no one knew who Barack Obama was, bring those two people together because she knew it would be a good match. And we also have Barack Obama, his presidency, would have been really, I think, nothing if she hadn't endorsed him.
Are you saying, what about, did she introduce Barack Obama to Michelle Obama?
The information that you'll find, if you do your research, you'll find out two things, that he was born in Hawaii, he was not born in Kenya, and that, you know, Oprah Winfrey was the matchmaker.
I didn't know that.
The matchmaker between Barack Obama and Michelle Obama. So not only did she do a great television show, and not only did she communicate to us the real problems, I think, around the world, she was the one that first told us about AIDS in Africa, not George Bush. She was the one that began setting up schools in South Africa. She was the one who, on her program, did a number of specials on swine flu, years before we knew what this was.
So she was not just the Oprah Winfrey, the chat master, the talk show host, but...
Well, I think she was Oprah Winfrey, the teacher.
I was going to say that. She was an educator. She taught us about a lot of stuff that we didn't know anything about.
I really, Phil, think that her significance is summed up best by what George Will wrote. George Will wrote in his column that he writes... the column that he writes, because he's a columnist for the one of the Chicago papers, George Will, who is on the George Stephanopoulos program, who is on a great many talk panels, who has been invited on the most intelligent discussion panel shows in the world, George Will wrote that Oprah Winfrey was the Benjamin Franklin
wow.
of our times, exactly.
And why did he say that? Some people would say that Oprah Winfrey...
Well, let me tell you why.
That Oprah Winfrey didn't invent things, you know.
Well, let me tell you why. It isn't so much that Benjamin Franklin invented things. The ideas, and Oprah Winfrey's ideas, putting Barack Obama together with Michelle Obama on a dinner date, exposing the fraud and waste in the banking system that eventually did lead to the downfall of the American economic system in bringing that to the American people at a time when, and it proved to be very, very true, Phil. And
so the programs that she did were very wide-ranging. I think when people think of Oprah Winfrey, they think that she was an individual who had on, I don't know, pregnant mothers, you know?
Yeah, and that is unfortunate. I think that's an unfortunate reality because when you said to people, well, Oprah Winfrey did a talk show, and people would say, oh, I get it. And like the man that you had talking here a moment ago, who said, I don't watch those shows, I know what they're about. Well, no, he didn't know what they were about. If he did, he'd realize that Oprah Winfrey, long before there was a whistleblower in New York on Bernie Madoff, Oprah Winfrey was talking about the possibility of these kinds of scams on her show. And so...
So well, how do you think the American people have reacted? Because I know you wanted to talk about that.
Well, that's why I was disappointed today, Phil. I was at Best Buy in downtown San Francisco. And I was in there purchasing an iPod for my daughter. We had given her one for her birthday, and it got broken. I looked at the television screen, and I saw that they were beginning Oprah's address to the country on her retirement. And I stopped everything, and I walked over, and I sat down to listen. And I was bitterly disappointed to see people in the store, even though the audio was turned up on the television, continuing to walk as if nothing historic was happening, as if this woman who had alerted us to all of these things I mentioned, whether it be swine flu or the economic meltdown or the problems that were happening in Georgia that culminated with the Soviet invasion, the Russian invasion, they kept on walking without any decency. There was no respect there, and I felt so heartsick. It was almost a surreal moment, as if I'd been transported into another world. It was not my country anymore. And here is a country that spent all of this time on Fort Hood. Fort Hood, Fort Hood. Fort Hood was horrible, yes. But it was three straight days of Fort Hood. Three straight days of the same tape loop showing guys running to a building. Then the tape loops around and the same guy is magically back at the truck and he's running to the building again. And yet, people couldn't even stop and have the common decency and respect that you would expect of them to stop what they're doing and to listen to what Oprah was saying to the nation.
Well, you mentioned Fort Hood. Fort Hood was a violent and traumatic event.
Well, I know that Fort Hood seems to satisfy the hunger we have for exciting television.
No, Dean, that's unfair. You know, I mean, people died.
No, I know that, Phil, but you don't believe, and neither do I, and I don't think any of your listeners do, that the people that watched the Fort Hood coverage were all that concerned about the people that died. They were watching to see if there would be another shooting. You know, you had these news vans there on scene for quite a long time, and there's no question in my mind that people were watching to see if another gunman would pop up, and perhaps we would see live on camera a shooting. Maybe someone would spray the news vans with bullets.
You believe that that's why people watched Fort Hood, the Fort Hood coverage, because they wanted to see what else would happen?
I think there's a very large element of that. Yes, I do. But let's not talk about that, because the reason why I brought that up, Phil...
You're saying some pretty controversial things about that.
But the reason I brought that up is because that was 3 days of the same tape of the same man in the SWAT gear, running to a door, and then he's back at the truck and he's running to the door. So, in other words, there was no news. Oprah Winfrey today addressed the nation, and I didn't see any major preemptment of the networks. I didn't see any individuals at the Best Buy, and I dare say probably in other stores, have the common decency, just basic human decency. But this is not asking a lot, though. Stop and show that you were born to parents that lived in a house and you weren't feral. And stop and watch Oprah Winfrey as she addresses the nation. It didn't happen. And I was so bitterly disappointed in that, Phil. I came home and I sat down with my daughter and my wife. We wrote a song and tried to put the day's events into perspective.
Well, Dean, I certainly respect Oprah Winfrey, and It is a wonderful. She was a wonderful broadcaster.
You're a broadcaster, and I know, but you're qualifying. See, you're qualifying. She was more than a broadcaster. She brought to us things we didn't know about. Swine flu.
I understand that. She did a lot of informative shows. I didn't know that she did a lot of shows on the economy.
She told us what was going to happen. She told us. Oprah told us what was going to happen with the economic meltdown. And it's so tragic that we didn't listen. That we didn't want to listen to her because she was black? I don't know.
Well, that's ridiculous.
I don't want to play the race card. I don't want to play the race card. But it's almost as if I'm in a gin game. And what I do need is the race card, and the person that I'm playing against has just tossed it right onto the stack. Do you not pick it up and play it? You tell me. You tell me.
Well, I don't think it's race. She had so many fans. White people. Black people.
I'm telling you, I want to resist playing the race card. I do. But when she says to us that swine flu is the next big thing, and we laugh in her face.
I don't know how prevalent that message got out. I didn't hear her say that.
Well, you were one of very few. Everyone watched her show.
If everybody watched her show and she said swine flu is going to be the next big thing, what did she mean by that?
The next big event, the next big news event.
Well, I don't know.
I, Phil, with respect, I think this necessitates more than just a, well, I don't know. I think it necessitates all of us to remember what she did for us. And that's why I was so bitterly disappointed that the people in that store today didn't have the basic, common human decency and table manners to stand there and keep their mouths shut for 5 minutes and listen to what Oprah had to say. Instead, they kept walking around as if, you know, their lives were not impacted by this woman.
Dean Wheeler joins us in a rather passionate and far-ranging discussion here of Oprah Winfrey and what she meant to the media. Our number, and to all of, you know, to America, 877-876-PHIL is our number. And we're going to get back to Dean. Now, I was not a big viewer of her show, and so I didn't see all these things. But I also know that, you know, she talked about a lot of stuff, and she did a lot of stuff. She had the schools in South Africa and so forth. I didn't know that her voice concerning the economic meltdown, I didn't know that she had actually predicted that or that she had been far more involved in AIDS work in Africa than Bush or anybody else. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. But more to the point, what Dean was saying is that she didn't get the respect that she deserved today in that store as she addressed the nation, and people just kept on walking as if she wasn't even there. 877-876-PHIL is the number here in the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be back with Dean Wheeler as we continue to talk about Oprah Winfrey announcing her retirement today.
Phil Henry.
Can I go to the bathroom?
Phil Henry.
877-876-PHIL. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, the groundbreaking Phil Henry Show with Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center. And Oprah Winfrey, you know, Dean, you're into alternative homeopathic medicines and so on and so forth. Oprah Winfrey talked a lot about that on her show, didn't she?
She did, Phil. She was an individual that inspired me, as she inspired Michelle Obama and Barack Obama to make that fateful, you know, leap into marriage, inspired me to get into homeopathy. And when, you know, you and I were talking about Fort Hood, I remember what happened to the country on 9/11. I don't think that there's anyone that will ever forget that. To me, and only to me, and perhaps there are others, Oprah leaving this stage as she does, it affects me the same way, and not for the same reasons, but the same way as 9/11. And
you're kidding.
No, I felt the same way. I was lost. I was scared. I was in a surreal landscape. I felt violated. And that was difficult because I admire the woman so much. And I remember asking myself, why would she violate me like this by retiring? I wandered for hours in the house, picking up books and putting them down. Well, you understand, if there's one like me, there's got to be more. And that's why, while Fort Hood was bad, I think we'd had enough of that after 48 hours. And yet Oprah Winfrey, she gets 5 minutes and then back to the Dancing with the Stars promo or Donny Osmond talking to Larry King. I felt violated.
All right, 877, when you bring up 9/11,
I'm just talking about myself.
I know, but I've got very personal feelings about that, too, and you know what, to each his own, I guess. 877-876-PHIL is the number. Kate is on with us. Kate, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Dean Wheeler. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm like, absolutely, my blood is boiling. I love Oprah Winfrey. I've watched her since I was a kid. I'm 24 years old.
She's
a journalism major, and she's wonderful. But
she's
the way
wonderful.
That you're talking about her, I think, is borderline sick. She had a lot of things to do, but she had a lot of trivial things that she said. She talked about weight loss. She talked about celebrities. I don't see that how you could. The world's not going to stop because she's going off of the air. And the fact that you relate this to 9/11 and Fort Hood, I'm in Texas. This is, it's offensive. It's absolutely offensive. She inspires people there are going to be other Oprah Winfrey. There's going to be other people in the world to carry on her legacy. But and people can learn from her, but the world is not over. When I'm shopping and she's going off air, I'm not going to stop because I've got a life too. We like you said, it is a recession. Yeah, she predicted it.
Dean,
but
yeah.
I've got things to do. I got to get my stuff from Best Buy and I got to go to work. I'm not going to stop because she's giving a retirement speech. I'll read it online.
I'm stunned. Are you really an Oprah Winfrey? When she gave her retirement address to the nation, and people were walking around in front of me at Best Buy.
I read it online.
You don't think that that was an act of absolute indecency to what she was able to do?
The fact that anyone would have the time to sit down and stop is ridiculous.
No.
Do you stop and watch when Brad Pitt
Oprah Winfrey,
and Angelina are on the show?
No,
I'm not going to stop eating my food because they're on the show. I'm not going to stop because she's trying to talk about her weight gain.
Okay, this is interesting. Then how do you call yourself really an Oprah Winfrey fan? I recognize what she meant to this country, her predictions having to do with the economic meltdown, the fact that she predicted children would die from swine flu, the fact that she went to South Africa and said, there's apartheid. I want to ask the young lady something, Phil.
Go ahead.
What is her name?
Her name is Kate.
Kate. Didn't your soul die a little when you heard Oprah resigning? Because a part of me died. And
Absolutely not. It was nothing comparable to 9/11. Absolutely not.
The 9/11,
I'm at the loss. But, you know, we can look at her shows online. I can look at her pictures. I can look at her magazines. She's absolutely viral. It's everywhere. And I can realize what she's meant to me, but there's other people who can do what she can do. And the fact that you are so devastated,
that's not fair. Who can she do what she can do? Who is going to host a television show?
I believe that Oprah would be offended at what you're saying. She would think that it's ridiculous.
When the 9/11...
No, Phil, we lost a lot of people at 9/11. There's no question. But today, we lost a very important figure. I'm just speaking for myself that when Oprah decided that she was retiring, that I had the same feelings after 9/11. I felt as if Oprah had violated me the way Osama bin Laden had. Well, I question whether you're really a fan of hers or whether
you're a fan of hers, and I know that you're spoken out about like rape and sexual abuse, and the fact that you're saying I felt like Oprah had violated me, I feel like it's
offensive. Well, I don't mean...
Like,
yeah. That's offensive,
that
you know. Yeah.
You're talking almost as if you work for Maury Povich.
What did you say, Dean?
Oprah fans, like I said, she was a major reason why I wanted to get into journalism in the first place.
There are a lot of very true Oprah fans out there who can empathize with me. And can I ask you a question? question. I don't mean to insult you. Do you work for another show? Do you work for another show? Do you work for Povich?
I'm afraid of journalism. No, as you probably know.
You don't work for Maury Povich, because this is something he'd pull.
I don't think so. I think that Kate is calling the show because it's her opinion. I appreciate your call. We got to take a break, Kate. Thank you very much. 877-876-PHIL. Dean Wheeler on the retirement of Oprah Winfrey.
Phil Hendry.
I'm just violated. It feels good, but...
World famous... Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Dean Wheeler about the retirement of Oprah Winfrey. Dean is with the Northern California Anti-War Alliance, also with a holistic center up there. A big Oprah Winfrey fan. I know she inspired you to get into homeopathy, as you said, and she's been responsible, from what you tell me, for predicting a lot of things like swine flu, the economic meltdown, and the... and these other things. You know, the only thing, Dean, the reason I think that young lady was upset is she said that Oprah would not like the way you're talking.
So, that young woman, I don't know who she worked for. She could have been a PA, a production assistant for Maury Povich. It would be like Povich to have one of his PAs call in and sour this moment, you know. This moment that is bittersweet. Of Oprah leaving a long legacy on television.
I'm trying to relate to how you feel. I know that when President Reagan died, there was so much, you know, emotion. Is it like that she's not dead?
No, I can't. No, when Ronald Reagan died, I think a lot of us breathed a sigh of relief.
That's not fair to say.
Well, you're asking me how I felt when Ronald Reagan died.
Well, I was wondering if you could relate it. What I'm thinking was when Ronald Reagan died, you're expressing a lot of emotion about this.
I am expressing emotion. When you say, how did I feel when Ronald Reagan died, I can remember just going, almost like a, you know, it's over. You know, the nightmare's over. But
if there are people out there that like Ronald Reagan that may take offense at that.
Well, I'm taking offense at people when I say that Oprah Winfrey resigning from her program today was a watershed event, one that was unanticipated, one that took her fans by surprise, one that leaves a great many of us lost and alone in a wilderness of media that lies with a smile on its face. Oprah Winfrey never lied, and I think that's why her legacy to this country will be one that is lasting. You know, Phil, we talk about Martin Luther King. I don't want to play the race card. I really don't want to play the race card. But someone just threw it into the gin pile.
And all right, because somebody threw the race card onto the gin pile, you don't have to pick it up and play it.
I've got to. I need it. I needed to fill out my run. I needed to fill out the run that I knew I was going to have. Because Oprah Winfrey told us. She told us. We have a day for Martin Luther King, don't we?
We have a Martin Luther King birthday.
Let me ask you, and I'm asking you honestly, did Martin Luther King do what Oprah Winfrey did do? In other words...
Martin Luther King was an American on the level of an Abraham Lincoln. In my opinion, he was assassinated for his efforts. He was subjected to violent threats.
And you don't think Oprah Winfrey was this young lady you just heard? Was very vehement in the things she said.
And that young lady wasn't threatening Oprah Winfrey.
When I said that I was violated by Oprah, she said that I was being, that Oprah did a rape special. And I said, yeah, and she said, that would be inappropriate for you to say that. And I said, then you are telling me I can't say I've been violated by Oprah. That means that you disagree with her rape special. And you are therefore being, I think, a little... judgmental there.
But she didn't threaten Oprah Winfrey. She didn't threaten Oprah Winfrey's life. And for you to say that you're violated by Oprah Winfrey because she retired, man, do you understand what I'm saying? So if I say to you that a lot of people were feeling bad when Ronald Reagan died, I was trying to say, do you feel that way that they felt? And you tell me when Ronald Reagan died, you had a sigh of relief.
Well, I think a lot of Americans did. You said Ronald Reagan, didn't you? Maybe I mixed up.
No, I said Ronald Reagan.
Oh, I think a lot of people went, aside, because the long Reagan, that whole Reagan day in and day out, week in and week out, never ending, it was over, finally. Oprah leaving, do you think anyone's heaving a sigh of relief except for those people at Big Buy? I don't think so.
I think you're being disrespectful to people that admired Ronald Reagan.
But they're being disrespectful to me by standing there and buying iPods while Oprah's addressing the nation. And one other thing, the Fort Hood coverage that I was telling you about, Oprah Winfrey was on TV for 5 minutes, and there's 3 solid days of Fort Hood.
That kind of coverage, that the Fort Hood massacre...
I understand, but for people like me...
Well, maybe there aren't that many people like you, man. To say that the Fort Hood massacre... was something that went on and on and on and on. You'd say that the Ronald Reagan legacy went on and on and on and on and on. You got this sensibility about you that says that the Fort Hood and Ronald Reagan, that's nothing compared to Oprah Winfrey retiring from television.
I don't want to play the race card.
Are you going to tell me that I'm being racist?
You're stepping up to the edge, and I'll tell you why, Phil.
That is so, man, that's so lame, you know.
Why is that lame?
What has that got to do with the race card, man? I'm just saying.
You brought up 2 events where whites were killed. Ronald Reagan, when he got, he didn't get killed, but he died. And then the whites. And
there were black people shot up at Fort Hood, too.
But when black people are shot along with white people, it tends to be white people were shot. Now, you don't understand. Reagan dying was in many ways, Phil, and I know this is going to anger you, oh, boy, I better not say it.
Yeah, you watch what you say.
Well, because you said that, now I am going to say it. Reagan dying was a good day for America.
A good day for America, huh? That is, you know what, man? You can't bring up somebody resigning that you admire and that you like, Oprah Winfrey, without crapping all over the legacy of a man that many people liked.
Did you like him?
Did I like Reagan? I, to be honest with you, I didn't agree with his politics, but he was an American president. I respected him.
Did you like him, though?
I respected. That's all I'm going to say. An American president passed on. He had a great deal of people, a great many admirers.
Well, Oprah resigning is a sad day for America. In my opinion, when Reagan died, I felt a weight lifting off of it was. I don't know how to put this. Phil, I'm trying to be honest with you.
Well, you're being honest with me about your admiration for Oprah Winfrey at the expense of Ronald Reagan. Oprah Winfrey.
All right.
At the expense of Ronald Reagan. You don't need to do that. At the expense of people that were hurt by Fort Hood. You don't need to do that.
When Ronald Reagan died, it was similar to when I had passed a kidney stone in 1987. And I don't want to give you the graphic details, but it was a great deal of pain.
No, you've already said it was a relief.
But you don't know what kind of a relief. When that stone finally came out in that stream of, well, when I went number one the next, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're all of this stuff you're telling me about, I don't care. You understand that?
You don't care? You don't have to care. But I care that a pain that brought me to my knees, I finally passed one morning. And that was the same feeling I had when Reagan died. What you've done is you've manipulated my support for Oprah Winfrey into me admitting that Ronald Reagan dying was like me passing a kidney stone.
Well, a lot of people might think that that's painful.
Yes, it's painful, but then it feels good.
So Ronald Reagan dying was painful, and then it felt good.
No, it felt good. I'm saying the Ronald Reagan dying part was after the stone had passed, then it felt good. The pain that I felt passing the stone was Oprah Winfrey resigning. And that's, you don't understand that, you know.
Well, I don't understand that. I don't understand anybody loving someone so much, admiring someone so much, that they feel as if they need to compare them to Martin Luther King.
I don't feel I need to. I know that you can compare Oprah Winfrey very favorably to Martin Luther King. Here is a man that did great things, you're right. Do you know something? Oprah Winfrey used to give away a car, and I don't know how that changed the lives of people that got that car.
Martin Luther King
never gave away a car. unless it was at one of the early church raffles that he did. Do you understand how that can change someone's life?
No, I can understand how a car can change someone's life, yes. I don't know that giving somebody a car is the same thing as making sure they have a right to vote, for instance.
Well, I think you'd get an argument from many of the young men that Dr. King dealt with who were sharing a Cadillac or whatever they were riding.
There you see, this is what I mean. Your sensitivity, man.
I don't understand.
What do you mean Martin Luther King, the young men sharing a Cadillac? That's the kind of racial stereotype that you are accusing me of.
Oh, my God. I didn't want to play the race card.
You not only played the race card, you played it on yourself. You're playing a game of gin against yourself, and you lost. Here is Chris on the Phil Henry Show. Chris, you're on with Dean Wheeler and Phil Henry. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, I just want to make a comment, Phil. Him comparing to Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan was a very great icon. Martin Luther King was a great icon. Oprah Winfrey retiring is nothing. I mean, if she passed away, it would be one thing, but she retired. She's stepping down,
yes.
And it's no comparison
I didn't want to bring up Ronald Reagan. Mr. Henry asked, he said, is it comparable to how people felt when Ronald Reagan died? And I said, when Ronald Reagan died, I felt a sigh of relief.
No, nobody had a sigh. No, Ronald Reagan
I
was
did.
A great
no,
American
I'm saying
president.
That I... I'm saying that I did. I felt a sigh of relief.
Well,
I think
you really need to get help because, I mean, you really got on the part of being a stalker of Oprah Winfrey. She should have an order of protection against you to keep you away from her because you sound like you really need to get help.
When all I want to do is help her career and help whatever she does after her television
she
career.
She don't need your help. She
well,
does
I
not need your
off.
Help.
I think Oprah Winfrey knows what she's doing.
I've dropped off several letters at her home, and I've waited for her car to come out of the gates. And I don't stalk her. I wait for the car to come out of the gates. I wave, and then I leave.
Yes, she needs to get an order of protection against you. And
every
I agree
day.
With Kate earlier.
Wait a minute. Why does she have to get an order of protection against me when all I do is stand at the gate of her house and wave when she leaves?
You're very obsessed with her. You're
yeah, exactly.
You know, very obsessive with her. And like I said, it's freaky. It's kind of creepy, you know. I mean, I agree with Kate. I think Oprah would be very disappointed in you and very upset with the stuff that you're comparing her to, you know.
No, that I compared her to Martin Luther King? She's going to be upset with that? Oh, boy.
Well, you're talking about American President Ronald Reagan and saying that people sigh of relief. You know, this is an American president. Whether you agree with his politics or not, he was still an American president.
It just so happens when he died, it felt as if I had... It's like a law, like a bowel movement that you needed.
You know, your comparisons are really grotesque, man.
Yes,
really
they
grotesque.
Are.
All right, thank you, sir, for your call. Thanks a lot, Chris. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here. Close out with Dean Wheeler. We have Verna Dozier coming up next hour on the education system in America and just how much money are we going to keep pouring into public education, in his opinion. Also, Obama's poll numbers down below 50%. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.
Phil Dean Wheeler, we lost him.
Yeah, I think he's offended.
We're sorry that we offended you, sir, but you offend me when you compare, Oprah Winfrey to Martin Luther King, or you say that, hey, Ronald Reagan, when he died, I breathed a sigh of relief. With Oprah leaving TV, I feel lost, just like I felt on 9/11. Give me a break.
He hung up and said, he said a dirty word, too, but...
Don't worry about it. 877-876-PHIL, and don't forget, we've got Dean Wheeler coming up next hour to talk about the California educational system, the educational system across the country, the public education system across the country, and whether or not it is deserving of continued funding. He's going to be talking about that and some other ideas on what to do with the dollars and the cents, you know, that we're putting toward that. Now, you know, Palin is going to be just a story, and for whatever reason, I know that people dig her and you know, like that. And she's got a lot of people coming out to see her, and she signed a minimum of 2,500 copies of Going Rogue at an appearance. There was also a bunch of people booing. Listen to this. When Sarah Palin decided, or whoever it was that was handling the appearance, decided that she couldn't sign any more books, this is the reaction.
I thought I said her. No, wait. No, somebody's going to be quitting on the job right there. Quitting on the job.
Those retards, I mean, in other words, those people, those are supposed to be Sarah Palin fans? I don't think so. Now, either they were sent out there by the local Republican National Committee club, or those people are just a bunch of stupid bastards that were standing around, and because they couldn't get a free signature, they didn't buy the book, and they wouldn't get an autograph. None of this stuff translates into saying that Sarah Palin doesn't get it, or that Sarah Palin is mean or cruel. Maybe her politics are straight up the you-know-what, which I happen to think they are, but it doesn't mean anything about, it doesn't have anything to do with whether or not the woman can communicate with people or is nice to people. It just so happens that a bunch of people were too stupid or too lazy to get out there soon enough to get their book signed, and when they cut the line off, those dummies start jumping up and down and going, you know, I don't even know what it is they're saying. Listen to this one guy. It's like he's been sucking his breakfast. Listen. What? What? Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, that's... So in other words, the alcoholics in that local town decided that the best thing to do, the best way to work the DTs out, was to get out there and yell at Palin. Now, in an interview that garnered over 4.1 million viewers for Bill O'Reilly on Fox News, Sarah Palin says that the McCain campaign, and this is probably a little bit out of the book, the McCain campaign had no idea what kind of attack she'd face by the mainstream media.
So you didn't know they were going to come after you?
No, and neither did the campaign. Had the campaign known, then they would have had, practically speaking, things like a binder full of information about me.
Can I say something bold and fresh?
Please.
You should have known. You are a pro-life woman, a pro-gun woman. You didn't think the elite media in New York and D.C. was going to put a target on your forehead?
Not to the extent that they did. No, I didn't anticipate that. And evidently, those running the campaign didn't anticipate it either. But, you know, they did what they did. But I'm here where I am today, meaning we plowed through a lot of that stuff.
Yeah. In an interview on CBS News, conservative David Frum, conservative, here is David Frum. Wait till you listen to what this dumbass says.
Palin defenders say the media continues its unfair treatment of her in this week's Newsweek, where she's pictured on the cover in running shorts. Palin called it sexist on her Facebook page. But conservative David Frum says she has brought it on herself.
This is a woman who has got into a position of leadership by sending very powerful sexual signals. And we see that in the way that men like her much more than women do.
Have you ever heard anything in your life that, and I don't know how much he gets paid, but man, I want that guy's job. You don't have to think very hard to do whatever it is that David Frum does. You hear that? Now, again, Palin, I will never, ever vote for. Never will I ever vote for Sarah Palin. I don't think what she says for this country, the things that she says, her ideas, none of that stuff jives with me, man. But I'm not ready to go out there and start cooking up the most unbelievably stupid things, recognizing, of course, that there's a lot of dumb people listening to you. I'm not ready to go out there and start cooking up all kinds of crazy stuff to keep her from becoming vice president, president, or any other damn thing she wants to be. I don't give a damn. I won't vote for her. Conservative David Frum says she sends powerful sexual... Let me tell you something, David. I don't know who you are or what you are, and I ain't the best-looking guy in the world, that's for sure. One thing is, I am a heterosexual, and Sarah Palin, I wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. What do you think of that, pal?
He's probably going to say you're gay.
I don't care what he's going to say I am. I got a few questions about him, too. I'm not talking about whether she's a good woman or a bad woman. You're talking about sexual. What sexual signals? Oh, yeah, man. She's sending those out real strong. Like what? Like dressing like a librarian? A librarian, man. That's what librarians dress. That's a professional woman's look. The way that the Sarah Palin was dressed through that campaign, that's the way a professional woman dresses. A pantsuit here and a pair of pants there and a dress over there and the freaking glasses. All right. Coming back, we've got Vernon Dozier on the program. We'll get into this whole idea of whether or not it's time to stop funding or cut way back on the funding for public education in this country. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.